You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. For our next story, we're shifting gears and heading back in time. The Summer of Love was San Francisco's most celebrated party, but it came with a massive collective hangover. Mind-opening drug use led to serious addiction and overdoses, and free love had a hidden cost, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. One of the most notorious of these is gonorrhea, which spread rampantly throughout the nation in the late 60s and through the 70s. But now it's back in San Francisco, 50 years after the Summer of Love. KALW's Claire Strempel has the story.
The Summer of Love. The psychedelic art, the mind-altering drugs, the sex. 100,000 young people from all over the nation descended on San Francisco to sample hippie culture. They lived in communes, slept in the park, wore tie-dye, and dropped LSD. You know, they got it on.
Yeah, it was a sexual revolution, and everybody was having sex with everybody.
Dr. David Smith was working at San Francisco General in the fevered summer of 67. He saw a lot of revelers overdose. So he opened the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic with $600 and a vision of non-judgmental healthcare.
Well, we had this 350 patients a day coming into our clinic. Well, remember, we're right in the middle of the hurricane, so it felt huge.
Smith was interviewed about drug use during the Summer of Love a number of times this past summer. But his clinic also treated a lot of STDs. He says of those 350 patients a day, about 15% were infected with gonorrhea. That's a lot, considering just a decade before, the national infection rate was only 1%, according to the Centers for Disease Control.
Suddenly you had a public health epidemic that the system was totally unprepared to deal with.
Smith says his medical school instructors told young doctors that the disease would be all but extinct in a matter of years. They were wrong.
Gonorrhea? Well, I hear it's a real epidemic. All the kids have it.
People were pouring into San Francisco, making love, swapping diseases, and then going home to their respective cities around the country, sometimes with a party favor.
Well, certainly I don't go around infecting everybody.
I'm sure you don't.
Just to get the clinical information out there, gonorrhea is a bacteria.
The disease is acquired by sexual contact, where the environment is warm and moist.
You can't usually see the symptoms in women. But for men, the main symptom is hard to miss.
There's a pussy discharge from their penis.
Condoms protect against it. And once you have it, it's easy to cure with antibiotics.
Yeah, I heard some of the boys came back with something like that. Me? I don't worry. Just a little old shot and zip. You're cured.
The boys he's talking about were coming home from the Vietnam War.
Some troops, without question, came back to the United States with active cases of gonorrhea.
Dr. Dale Smith is a military medical historian at the Uniformed Services University in Bethesda, Maryland. He says about a third of the soldiers fighting in Vietnam got gonorrhea. The Army was young in Vietnam, away from home for the first time and in a high-risk environment. Command wasn't too worried about binge drinking or having unprotected sex on leave because gonorrhea didn't stop soldiers from fighting.
It was just something you did at sick call and went on about your business, kind of like having a headache. You got a pill and moved on, although this pill tended to be given through a hypodermic needle.
Treatment in the 60s was a simple penicillin shot. Many soldiers took their leave in neighboring Bangkok, which had a growing problem with drug-resistant gonorrhea and one of the densest populations of sex workers in the world. Antibiotics weren't regulated in Thailand. Anyone could buy them. Dr. Smith says that sex workers were under the mistaken impression that they could take antibiotics to prevent STDs, but that only made the disease more resistant. So the Army took a big step. They gave condoms to soldiers.
But young men prefer au naturel, and so they tended not to use them.
So the Army developed a vaccine for gonorrhea, but then decided the infection was easy enough to treat and shelved the research before testing it on soldiers.
Now, I think there's a subtext in that they didn't want to admit to the mothers of America that gonorrhea was a significant problem in the military community because they could treat it and it didn't impact fighting anymore.
While the Army was proactive about treating and curing the disease, practices in Southeast Asia meant that some particularly tenacious strains made it back to port cities, like San Francisco. So while the soldiers were fighting and all this free love was being given and taken, something else was happening. The pill. The contraceptive pill was approved as a birth control measure in 1960. And only 5 years later, 6.5 million women in the United States were using it.
Dr. Tyler, I wonder if you could tell me just exactly how oral contraceptives are used.
Well, these are tablets which are taken one a day for about...
Would you use them?
I am using them.
If you didn't come of age in the 60s, it's hard to imagine the impact. Sexually enfranchised women could enjoy sex without worrying about pregnancy or condoms. Kate Coleman started college at UC Berkeley in 1965 and lived through the sexual revolution in the Bay Area.
I felt the culture I was in already of having affairs was already in place, but not this running around and frolicking in the summer of love and f***ing strangers.
We've come a long way since 67, but even though we've put a man on the moon and invented the internet, we still don't have a vaccine for gonorrhea, and we still get it. The pill prevents pregnancy, but only condoms prevent the spread of gonorrhea.
Condoms are wonderful. Condoms are wonderful tools for prevention. They should always be part of our overall arsenal for sexual health.
That's Dr. Susan Phillip, Director of Disease Prevention and Control for the San Francisco Public Health Department. She says gonorrhea cases are up 20% over last year in San Francisco.
Gonorrhea is a very wily organism, and it has developed resistance, meaning that certain antibiotics no longer work against it after a while.
She's hearing reports about antibiotic-resistant and untreatable gonorrhea from overseas. Sound familiar?
Well, untreatable gonorrhea is keeping a lot of public health STD people up at night because it is something that has happened elsewhere in the world, where even with recommended treatment, people in Europe and Japan have had cases where they've had to be retreated again. But that hasn't happened so far in the United States.
Yet. According to the CDC, gonorrhea is substantially underdiagnosed and underreported. They think they only hear about half the cases.
I'm also going to take your blood pressure.
Dr. Oliver Bacon is giving a checkup at the San Francisco City Clinic. The Haight-Ashbury Clinic gets a lot of press, but San Francisco's unsung hero is the City Clinic. They focus on sexual health and have been around since 1911. They see over 1,500 patients a year.
So in terms of STD screening, so we'll do the standard prep drill. So HIV testing.
Okay.
Blood draw for syphilis.
Okay.
Screenings like this one are the best defense against the spread of drug-resistant gonorrhea.
I can't even think of being sexually active in San Francisco without making this a part of your sex life as a regular visit to the clinic.
This patient visited a clinic for testing recently. He's going to remain anonymous since he's sharing intimate information.
I found out here once that they had discovered gonorrhea in my throat.
The bacteria doesn't just live in the urethra. It can also thrive in the throat and rectum.
Okay. So I won't do a rectal swab.
Okay.
I will do a throat swab and have you give urine, and that's all for gonorrhea and chlamydia screening.
Half of the new gonorrhea cases in San Francisco were not genital infections. That means no drip. Maybe no symptoms at all. So people can transmit gonorrhea without even knowing it.
There was no symptom at all. Nothing I could have noticed unless they told me.
This patient is here because he takes PrEP, which stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a new preventative medication against HIV/AIDS. Susan Phillip again.
STDs are cyclical, and they fluctuate with other things that are happening in society and in cities in particular. And, there are some parallels between what we're seeing now with HIV prevention being really effective through PrEP and through treatment, and the conversation that was occurring when women were getting access to oral contraception and the pill.
In other words, PrEP is to men who have sex with men what the pill was to women in the 1960s. Insurance against the biggest risk that comes with having sex. PrEP and the pill might be reasons people are using condoms less. But condom use in the U.S. has been dropping for years. Public health experts don't know exactly why. What they do know is that bacterial diseases get more resilient as our treatments get better. Here's David Smith again.
So it's a race. And sometimes the organism gets ahead of us, and sometimes we're ahead of the organism, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
If Susan Phillips had one wish, she says it would be for a vaccine. I told her that the Army had one ready back in 1980, but decided against clinical trials. She didn't sound too surprised. But she told me that since we spoke, she heard about a meningitis vaccine that also reduced the risk of gonorrhea infection. She hopes it might point the way to a new vaccine. Until then, the best defense is still to get tested. And an extra couple of micrometers of latex between you and the one you love might not be such a bad thing either. For Cross Currents, I'm Claire Strimple.